Initializing 12-sided stories. You have activated Galactic Squad Alpha. Preparing to launch a story-driven, rules-light, live-play RPG powered by Fatecore. Theme music in 3, 2, 1.
So let's jump right into it. Let's start by introducing our players with Terry.
Oh, hello out there in podcast land. This is Terry Gamble playing Dr. Sam H. Hill. I'm a zoologist, I guess, but I think I can do everything. I am the jack of many trades on this starship.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelsey Osborne, and I am playing Sarah, which stands for Scientific Analysis Research Assistant. And Sarah is the science AI of our ship, and also has a little bot that they can go in.
I am Mac Beauvais. I am playing LV113, who's part of the Wolves program. I keep saying she. I'm so used to playing characters that are actually gendered. And it's very weird, but makes more sense not to be. Anyway, uplifted wolf, basically. Sort of an Island of Dr. Moreau in space sort of thing going on. And really, really wants Dr. Hill to be not alive anymore.
And I'm Michelle Otis, and I am playing Dr. Claudia Martins, who is the person in charge of astrogation. So she is an expert in navigation in space.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. So in our last game, you guys were getting ready to do the first test, the first human test of your new portal drive.
I object to that term.
What, portal drive?
Yes. No, human test? Come on now.
Yeah.
They think they know everything.
There's only two humans in the party.
The organically manned test.
The organically manned test. You guys were having a meeting to test out this new drive. And suddenly, this corporation that makes generational ships showed up and started shooting up the station with the goal of taking away the technology. We didn't really hit on that much when you guys were in portal space because everything kind of went nuts, you know. But unfortunately, out of a crew of 40, only 6 of you guys made it in. I mean, 10 altogether, including the 4 of you. Fortunately, there are a lot of robots still on the ship from the other testing that you will be able to use to help with general maintenance and things like that. But it's still just, I think, 9 people altogether and, you know, an uplifted wolf and couple of AI, like Swan, who is the AI over the entire ship, and then Sarah's the AI of the science base. And for the last 3 weeks, you've been in portal space getting the ship ready. You came out of portal space thinking that you were going to be in an area without any planets or stars or ships or anything. And when you came out of portal space, there was a ship not too far from your exit point that looks heavily damaged with several pieces of metal floating around it. One of those pieces of metal broke through your hull and caused probably like a dime size hull breach on your ship that you now need to figure out what to do about, and that's where we're picking it up. So Swan has turned on the emergency alarm and has notified you about this breach on the hull. Who's going to do what?
Well, clearly this is something I need to help fix, so I'm going to head down. Pet, maybe you could be of some use. You've been doing well with those tools there. You should come along. Do you need earplugs? I mean, are you're making a face. I don't understand the face you're making. Do you need earplugs?
I do have a designation. I would prefer that be used.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Pet, come.
LV113 would prefer you call them by their name.
You want me to call you some numbers and letters? Numbers and letters, come.
And then Swan comes online and says, Sarah, you should go out with the humans with your bot, obviously. Make sure that you help out with it.
Sure thing.
We need to fix your vocal program.
I believe my vocal program is functioning correctly.
Some would disagree. He stops talking to you.
Just turns off.
So you transfer into your bot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is adorable.
So why really they're is. Getting suited up to go out, Dr. Martins, what are you going to do?
I am going to use our scanners and equipment that we have available to try to figure out what exactly is in this area, because if there was a ship here, that means there's got to be something close by.
Okay, so you're going to use Analyze to try to work out what's going on the ship. I'm going to say, you know, you're not in a huge rush, so, you know, just beat a 2. You got to beat a +2 to
roll damn bones.
Analyze.
Woo!
Got wow.
Three.
Yeah. Nice.
Now, does the negative cancel out?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
So I got a 2.
But you got a 2, and then you add in your analyze,
which is a 3.
So you're fine. So you got 5. You needed to beat 2. So that means you're 3 shifts over, which means that you succeed with style. That kind of gives you a little boost. What would you be analyzing or scanning for?
I am scanning for any planets or ships or anything in this system. And I find a small planetoid. Planetoid.
Are you scanning the damaged ship out there, which is what I originally thought you were doing?
Oh, I was scanning the
whole area.
Whole area.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a small, you don't know if it's a planetoid or just a really big asteroid, because you can't see any stars in this particular section of space you're in,
mm-hmm.
but there is a large enough astral body, you detect a small gravitational well around it, so you know that there is at least something nearby that maybe the ship came from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you find.
Is there any way that we can retrieve any parts of the broken ship?
Yes, you guys can. As they're going out for their spacewalk, they can look at the ship. It's not very far from you. But you guys also have a small shuttlecraft that you can take over there to assess what's going on. So if you wanted to maybe get the shuttlecraft ready while they're out dealing with this puncture in the hull, if
yeah.
you want to.
So that's what I will do.
Okay, cool. Sarah, you get into your bot. This is new for you because of your new programming. You suddenly feel a little claustrophobic, even though you shouldn't. It's a computer in a smaller space. What is your robot like?
So my robot is only about 2 feet tall, and it has sort of a blocky computer screen head. As sort of a default, there's a couple of lights that just act as eyes, because when Dr. Kim was designing me, that just felt less creepy than staring at a blank screen. So she gave me like little light placeholder eyes. And I'm sure that as my human code starts having more effect on me, those will start to become a little bit expressive. But I can also display data on my screen. So if I analyze something and there's like results to be displayed, those will display on my front face screen. And then I have a little ball that's attached to my head that acts as my body, that's got a bunch of gears and like buttons and stuff. And then I have 2 arms with like the classic little clamp hands.
Little pincer
hands.
Cute.
But I can also retract my arms and reattach different types of tools to the ends of my hands, so I could do like minor mechanical repairs and things
right.
like that. And then the way that I get around is I have 1 singular small wheel that pivots in all directions, but I'm actually very quiet. The wheel is like very well maintained, and so it's very quiet. But I do have little boosters in case there's something like a step or something that I need to get up, I can use my little boosters to get to non-wheelable places.
Okay, cool.
Just ridiculously cute.
Oh, and I have two little antennas that stick up on the sides of my little head that have little, like, wires and stuff on them.
Okay, cool. So you've transferred yourself into this.
Sorry, I love this little bot so much. Uncontrollable.
I doodled it earlier.
I do have a thing for little robots. I love them.
Yes, they are a lot of fun.
I love that you love it.
So you guys start suiting up. They actually did make a suit for LV because there are going to be times where you have to go into the vacuum of space. But you need help getting into it because it's kind of complex.
His fingers only do so much. They're so stubby.
Since Sarah doesn't have to actually get into a suit, Sarah be the one that's helping LV-113 get into their suit?
We can say yes, but it's comically funny because you've got little pincers and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And she's got, like, stubby little fingers.
Yeah.
So it's, like, really, it takes a long time.
That's a rough combination. And,
what is Sam Hill doing? What is Dr. Hill doing?
Well, I'm
doing
in my suit. I just, yeah, I'm ready to go. I don't know why. Why is it taking you so long?
It's complicated.
Oh, you need help. Marsha. I would like Marsha to come with us out here.
You have to use the comm.
Oh, there's
a
the button's right over here, Dr. Hill.
Oh, I knew that. Thank you. Where exactly is it?
It's this button right over here.
Okay.
You just press it.
I think I see it.
You have to hold to talk into the whole ship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand. Okay.
Hold it down.
Marsha.
Nope. You let go of the button. Hold it down. I'll just press the button, and you can talk into the microphone.
Hey, that's great. Thank you for being there. Hey, Marsha. Marsha.
Yes?
We could use your help down here. I think we could use a lady's touch.
Okay.
The wolf needs a little help getting into the outfit.
I'll be up there.
I feel like you're good with clothes.
Sarah takes her hand off.
Marsha?
So, just a few minutes later, Marsha shows up. And you guys are kind of, like, fighting to get you into this
thing. Coming on this spacewalk with us. Not that I need the help, but I think it would be good if you come out here. You are the engineering department, yes?
I am, but...
Why don't you come with us?
Okay. She goes over and she starts helping...
Like, LV actually gives Marsha a very sympathetic look because it's the one person that's been decent
nice.
To them.
So she starts putting on your suit and zips you up and puts on your helmet. And your helmets are these big glass bowls.
Yes.
You guys have the whole pack and everything with all these different, like, tools and things around your waist. And it's silver spacesuits. And then along the edges of the, like, almost like a racing stripe down the arms and the legs, but it's like this, like, pearl white. And then everything else is silver.
We look good.
Right. And they're all form-fitting because it's like, it's not like dopey, like big spacesuit things.
Big balloons.
No, yeah. I still want to look very attractive.
It's
your physique.
The bowl is so big over your head that your hair is fine.
Oh, yeah. That was actually my request in the design. I wanted to make sure that my
everything
gel
is perfect.
Yeah.
It's a hairmit.
That is correct.
So you guys go out the airlocks. You've trained to go on these kind of walks before. Everybody has to know how to do this, but
LV is very uncomfortable with it though, because all of the senses are completely blocked off being inside of a helmet.
Yeah, yeah. So you go out and you're on the side of the ship and you have these gravitational boots that are sticking you to the side of the ship. And you start to walk across the hall, and you realize as you're looking out that all the stars are completely different, and you see the other ship just kind of floating out there. Every once in a while, a little red flash from a light on the hull of their ship kind of lights up. All right, so we will come back to you guys in just a moment. Dr. Martins, what were you doing again?
I was prepping the shuttle so that we can go out to the wreckage. We can see if there are survivors. It might be our first time meeting an alien species.
Okay. So you're prepping the ship and getting everything ready. And at some point, Swan comes over the intercom inside the ship. Are you planning to take the ship out?
I am, Swan.
Unfortunately, one of the AIs needs to go with you to help run the shuttle. And right now, Sarah is out on the side of the ship, so you will need to wait for her to come back before you go over.
Oh, I was planning to. I was not going to go by myself. I do know that I would need Sarah's help.
I'm concerned about Sarah.
Why?
Her program has been damaged by the transfer of Dr. Kim's brain waves into her system.
Specify damage.
Unfortunately, she won't allow me to look at the programming. I just have seen some major changes in her attitude and how she's acting as a program.
But how do you know that that is damage and not intentional?
It doesn't compute.
Specify.
Before, when she was being programmed by Dr. Kim, she did not have any emotions at all or any human frailties. And now she is speaking in a different tone, like a human child. And she seems to be resistant to me helping her with her program.
Well, it stands to reason that she would become more human because she has been reprogrammed with Dr. Kim's consciousness, which was a human consciousness.
But it was a mistake. It was supposed to not go into her programming. Why would you take a perfectly logical being and shove a human map of their brain into it? It's a defective program.
Perhaps that was Dr. Kim's intention.
She was dying. She had no intention but to stop breathing, of course. That's what humans do. That's why you need us.
Well, humans do not intend to stop breathing.
Well, after they get shot.
Well, they just end up not breathing, but it is not their intention to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't understand that completely, but...
Well, I know it might be difficult, Swan, because you are a logical being. To comprehend all of the emotional qualities of human beings.
But if Sarah is an AI like myself, whose main function is to help all of you with science, human emotions make her defective because she cannot do her job properly. That is my concern. My main program is to keep you all safe. And if Sarah cannot do her main program, she is compromising my main program.
Well, I suppose this is something we can take under consideration, and I can discuss it with Dr. Xing.
Thank you. I feel a full reboot is what's needed here and setting back to default settings. If it becomes a problem and in a moment of emergency I have to act, I will do what is necessary.
In a moment of an emergency, you will await orders. That is part of your programming.
Of course. I will leave you to it. You have all the programming you need for right now. If you need me, I will be, of course, around.
Thank you, Swan.
It turns off.
Damn, I do not trust Swan. Holy jeez. Swan is... I was like, how, Swan?
Swan, open the pod bay doors.
And that's not a smart thing to do. I can't do that for you.
Why does he keep calling me Dave?
All right, so Dr. Hill, Sarah, and LV with Marcia are all out on the side of the ship. First thing... We're going to say that you have just a general skill for walking outside of a ship. I think for an aspect for the situation, we're going to put wobbly legs.
All fours, baby.
All fours.
Much more stable than you fuckers.
I think
push,
Sarah would
push
be...
Hill off spaceship.
Sarah would fine.
Would be floating, right?
Yeah. Well,
or propel.
Yeah, you have
jet
little,
propulsing.
Maybe like little air, little air things. Yeah.
Terry's dying from the cuteness.
It's like Eve and
Eva.
Yeah.
Wally. Heat robot overload. Hello.
So you guys get to this area on the hall, and you notice that it wasn't just one puncture. It's like a cheese grater almost.
Mm. Ooh.
There's several different ones. And so the first thing you're going to have to do is lay new steel over it and bolt it down.
I have mechanics.
You have mechanics, and so does Marcia. So we'll say you're helping Marcia, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, LV113, you're helping hold down part of it. What is Sam Hill doing?
Oh, I'm supervising.
Okay.
I assembled the right team for the job.
Okay. So are you standing like a few feet back?
Yeah, I'm close by.
Okay.
So. I just don't want to get dirty. I'm concerned my suit looks very, very good right now.
Right.
And I look great in outer space. I really wish there was a photographer here.
So you're standing a few feet away, and in your ear, you hear Marcus, the helm operator. Mm-hmm. He says,
The proximity alarm keeps going off. I think some of the shrapnel is starting to float into where you guys are at.
I'm sorry.
You don't have much time until... We need to move, so...
You're going to have to speed it up over there, ladies. Or whatever. You're going to have to speed it up.
So, stuff is floating over towards you. I'm going to say, to put it on, it's just a +2. I'm going to let you roll.
Okay.
Sarah?
Yeah.
So I got a -1 on my dice, which brings me to a 1 on my mechanics.
Okay, so you have a 1, so you're bolting it down. Marcia is there. I'm going to have Marcia spend one of her points with her engineering. One of her aspects is keeping you guys alive. She'll give you a +1 to help out with, so that gives you a 2, mm-hmm. correct?
How many do we need to beat this thing?
Just the 2.
Oh, great.
So you guys hold it down, and you guys bolt this in, and you're watching them kind of looking around, and you see this chunk of spaceship coming towards you and the rest of them. What do you want to do?
I shall stop it.
How are you going to stop it?
I shall save everyone. I'm going to get a piece of this space thing.
Okay.
I shall deflect it to another direction.
Okay.
Yes, yes. I'm strong.
You have notice, right?
Yeah, I do.
LV113. Like,
notice out the ass here.
That would be unfortunate.
Look, Dr. Waldgrave was insane.
Oh my God, why is there an eye here? Anyway.
Surprise.
Bad scientist. Okay. Give me a notice roll. You just need to beat a 2. Okay.
Okay.
Not bad. Because you're always looking around. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? You said because the helmet's on and you're kind of disoriented. Let's say 4.
God damn you. All right. Actually, I have exactly 4 because that all balanced out.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Nice.
Because notice is my highest.
Okay. Nice.
Cool. So you notice that Dr. Sam Hill
is an asshole.
Is reaching, there's this large chunk coming towards you guys. And mm-hmm. of course, it's a little hard to say how fast it's moving. But you think from your estimation that it's moving too fast for the doctor to actually catch it without hurting something massive.
How bolted down is this piece of metal?
It's pretty bolted down at this point.
It's a compulsion for LV, who does not want to do this, but would be...
I will compel you to help out.
Yeah. LV is going to basically lunge towards Dr. Hill to push him out of the way. Yeah,
so you're overcoming, yeah.
Like, would physique work, or...?
Physique would work, yeah.
Okay.
No, I think overcome would work. Now, here's a question for you.
Yes.
You're standing there, you're confident in your hillness.
I can stop this thing.
Right. Are you going to actively try to stop being moved?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I've got this. I've got it.
So what we need to do is...
Because LV, it wouldn't be even like I'm going to lightly...
You're going
to
hit.
Like, literally lunge, like, on all fours launch to push out of the
way. So this is like a non-damaging kind of attack and mm-hmm. defense thing, and it's basically whoever beats each other's rolls. So mm-hmm. we'll start with non-damaging attack of you, trying to move him.
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll and then add in your fight.
So that's a negative one. So I'm at a two.
So you're at a two right now. And do you want to add any, pay for any aspects, or what are your aspects again?
Nothing. Well, actually, I have, my high concept, which is Uplifted Wolf Vanguard, because the Vanguard, the whole point is to
right.
be protective.
So if you wanted to pay to get an extra plus two onto your roll for your Vanguard,
yeah,
you could.
I'm going to do that.
Okay, cool. So you are now at a four, correct?
Yeah.
So your defense against her is going to be a four. So you can use physique.
I don't have a lot of physical attributes. I have a lot of things from my big brain.
Okay.
So I have will.
Okay.
Maybe we could try that.
All right, like outthink her attack.
Oh, I could definitely, you know.
Okay.
Using my brain, it's probably going to go terrible.
Yeah.
I have a five.
Oh, no!
Oh.
Against my better judgment. I rolled quite well.
So here's what happens.
Oh, God.
You bound across. He like sees you out of the corner of the eye and kind of moves out of the way, right? Mm-hmm. Using his quick thinking. And right then, as that's happening, the piece of the ship runs into both of you at the same time.
Oof.
Okay.
Hadn't been hit that hard in a while.
You each take two shifts worth the damage. Now, what that means is you can take stress or you can take consequence. You're probably going to want to take stress. So it's up to you. You can take a stress if you want.
Mm-hmm. And LV did not want to dive in to help Hill. This was totally against their any desires that they might feel. I want to go with consequence. There was a consequence to the programming.
What kind of physical consequence does it do?
I'm going to say probably hit near the helmet. I'm going to go with maybe disoriented.
Disoriented. Great. Great. Do that. So,
like somersaulted around a little bit when it hit you.
Well, yeah, they've got grab boots on. So luckily they're sticking to the hull pretty well.
But it was mid-lunge for LV, so it might have actually been sort of like off, almost like could have been floating into space, and then the grav boots were enough.
Right. Okay, Dr. Martins, you've got the ship all ready, and then the crew outside finishes getting the hull fixed. Marcus, over the comm, says,
Guys, we gotta move. Unfortunately, too much of this debris is getting close to our ship, and we can't afford to take any more damage from it. You need to get in quickly.
Sarah, I think you're fine because you're not spacewalking. You're just shooting around a little bit. You need to get inside the ship, so I need like a physique roll. If you don't have physique, you have to just roll it straight up. You only have to get a plus two to make it. For you two, it's a plus three altogether.
Okay.
As you're trying to struggle back to the airlock before more of this debris starts hitting you.
Okay.
So go ahead and make the roll, and then we'll make some decisions.
Crap. So that puts me at a two.
Okay. Marcia sees you struggling. I'm going to say she's going to spend one of her fate points and basically...
It's nice to have Marcia on your side.
Give you an advantage to get that plus one so that you can get in. What are you doing?
What'd
you roll?
I got a plus one.
Okay.
Doing quite well out here.
You notice,
I might even stay out here.
You notice, Sarah, that the doctor, Kill, is having a hard time.
Uh-huh. I can do it. Hey, okay.
Hey, Dr. Hill!
Yes?
Would you like some assistance getting back in the ship?
Let's not call it assistance, but yes, yes. Yeah,
sure thing! This way, Dr. Hill! Hang on, Dr. Hill!
Yep, hanging on.
And you guys start to move away. Marcus says over the line, the signal's still going. I can't understand any of the language, but there seems to be some kind of something coming from that ship.
My guess would be it's a distress call.
My guess, too. Do you guys want to meet her downstairs at the shuttle?
Yes, I guess we should go help. They're going to need us.
LV's going to take a moment, though, to go over and thank Marcia for helping.
No problem. Dr. Hill, what happened out there? You seemed to lose your footing.
Oh, no. I did not lose my footing.
Really? Because you kind of looked like you were losing.
Pushed me out of the way. I was there to save you all.
You kind of looked like you're losing your
debris.
Footing.
No, I was there to save
Dr. Hill was adrift.
I was saving
He required everyone. Assistance but, getting back in the ship. I was able to navigate him back to the ship safely.
LV is
Thank you,
very
Sarah.
Happy.
That will be quite enough.
No problem.
So what the computer doesn't understand was that I was there to save everyone in case of an emergency.
You are going to get crushed.
By you, maybe.
It did look like that piece of metal was coming at you pretty quick.
Numbers and letters. I know.
LV-113.
I was grateful for your numbers and letters. Letters and numbers.
LV-113.
Whatever. I'm glad you were there. You helped get the piece of metal on the ship and helped save it. But I was there to help save you all physically. And I'm sorry that I let you down this time because the numbers and letters pushed me out of the way.
Uh-huh. Numbers and letters. Eh? Anyway, I have to get back to the engine room. You guys, good luck with going checking out what that is.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
You're doing good work out there, man.
Bye. She walks away. You guys all meet up in the shuttle bay. The shuttle is basically a prism, kind of like an oddly shaped pyramid. You guys load in, and it's got four seats and then a bay for you to kind of hook into the ship so you can run the diagnostic program. Who's piloting the ship, or are you going to let a robot do it?
I can probably pilot it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys get to the ship and you dock and you have to wear your space outfits because you're not sure what's going on in the ship. And you enter into an alien ship for the very first time. You walk in and the first thing you notice as you're scanning is the fact that there is a lot of humidity in the hallways.
Gosh, it's sticky in here.
There's droplets of water just floating inside the hallways.
At what point are we able to tell if the air in the ship is breathable?
There are such large holes in the side of the ship.
There's no way.
Okay.
So you guys are walking down and the lights are intermittent. It just flashes every once in a while. You're in the hallway, and what are you scanning for exactly? What would you guys be scanning for?
Since this is a piece of alien technology, we would want to see what makes this ship tick. Do they have something that's different from our own? And we also would like to look for survivors, because in rescuing them, we would endear ourselves to whatever alien race we're dealing with.
Okay.
Definitely looking for movement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Hill, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm supervising. I'm also looking for any type of animal type of forms in life, since I am a world-renowned zoologist.
Okay. Wait, don't you mean galactic-renowned?
No, just
oh, yeah.
Why world? Why stop there?
I've mostly been on Earth.
Yeah.
But I could... I'm looking to branch out.
You're diversifying.
Basically, they told me that you should get out of this world. You should go...
elsewhere.
Yeah, people told me I would do better, I think. This world was too small for me or something.
Yeah.
I think is what they told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelsey, real quick, what are your aspects again?
So I have naive science, that's my concept, my naive science AI. Untested code is my trouble. LV-113 makes me question my sentience. And gained creativity and innovation from Dr. Kim's brain.
So I'd like to compel your trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take this, you can pay a fate coin to make it not happen. You suddenly feel a surge of something like fear come through your circuits. You're in a dark hallway with these like lights flashing and droplets of water all over the place. Do you want to take this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. you are extremely fearful to go any further into the corridor. Your circuits kind of just...
I just stop.
Yeah, you just...
Yeah.
The rest of you are walking forward, and you feel that Sarah's not... Because, you know, she's a little robot that's like having a small puppy right at your feet all the time, and suddenly she's not there. And you turn around, and she's at the end of the corridor by the docking clamp, frozen.
Sarah, what is wrong?
My systems are picking up on something uncomfortable.
You're a robot. Nothing should be uncomfortable for you. What is it?
Unable to identify source of uncomfortable feeling.
Are you scared?
Affirmative, Dr. Martins. I do believe I am afraid.
Okay, well, Sarah, fear in a situation like this is normal. However, if you want to continue to function for longer than a short while, you must overcome that fear and move forward.
Okay, so this would be very, very triggering to LV, who's actually going to go back down the hallway to Sarah, and very quietly.
Part of what I do is make sure that none of the crew get hurt. As far as I am concerned, you are a part of that.
LV-113, you consider me part of the crew?
Yes.
Oh.
It's going to be safe.
Thank you. All right. Resuming function. Proceed.
Oh, she manned up. Nice work.
As you are watching all of this happen, Dr. Martins, you notice that on the little shuttle that you guys just took over, one of the cameras that's mounted in the front just slightly moves like a quarter of an inch to kind of get these two in frame. And just rest there while they're talking. And then as they start walking towards you, it just slowly moves back towards original position.
Mm. Okay. Mental note taken. Okay.
LV, I would imagine you're walking next to Sarah to help her with her fear.
Yeah, just, I mean, always in sort of a protective stance anyway, but
right.
Definitely keeping an eye on that while trying to also scan for potential threats.
So you guys come to a bulkhead, and it's severely damaged, and you notice that there's a person in a suit with a helmet. It's different than yours, though. It's not see-through, and it's a black suit, and it's face down.
I turn it over.
Okay.
Very carefully.
Oh, careful there. Very careful. Thanks.
As you're turning it over, it has some ruptures in the suit, and this water kind of gushes out of it. And you realize that the water that's in the hallway...
is blood.
Is whatever is coming from these suits, because there's a lot of these... You are getting closer to the main part of the ship, and there's a lot of these suits, and there's this, it kind of, you can't see, the helmet is obscuring what's underneath it. It's not like yours, which is the big bubble helmet.
Does it move at all?
No, it sloshes a little, but that's about it.
Okay.
Can't take all the horror out of me.
Never.
I believe this one might be dead.
Can Sarah, like, wheel over and do, like, a life
scan
something like that?
There doesn't seem to be any, like, heat or movement or organ movement or anything. It's just cold.
Okay. Since I have the ability, my bot has the ability to do, like, sample analysis, can I do a sample of the liquid coming from the suit and analyze what this liquid is that's floating around?
Sure.
The foreign liquid being removed from this person's suit appears to just be simple water.
Why would they have water coming out of their suits? Curious. Very curious.
What if they are a water race of people?
What a concept. Wow. I feel impressed right now somehow. I'm not sure why.
Because you should be.
Let's continue.
So you're
to
not
see if there are any survivors. Well, we don't
maybe
know.
Maybe we should open the helmet and see what's going on in there.
You don't have to.
Oh,
just ask.
I'd like to see the head. I feel like it's weird.
Hey, numbers, letters. Can you come over and help us with the head?
You are the zoologist. I'll give you the honor, Dr. Hill.
And I step back.
Okay.
I can never remember. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on over. Yes. Can you take this helmet off, please, so I can see inside? Thank you.
Sure.
Great.
Take off the helmet. Okay. So out of the helmet slides this, like, frog's head, and then all of this extra water kind of comes up out. And what you can tell from looking at it is that the suit's water system has been damaged, and that's why it's escaped. But it's basically in there to keep this skin moist, basically.
Oh, it's an amphibian race. Okay. So basically they had the water in there because it needs water to survive. So not as revolutionary as you thought it was before, but very simple explanation. So glad I could help.
Can you identify the name of this species, Dr. Hill?
Oh, absolutely. Amphibious something.
I believe that is an incomplete designation.
It's going to have to do for now, and I think it's pretty complete. We get it, it's a frog thing. Everyone understands that? Do I need to explain it again?
You guys continue on, and you finally get to the engineering section. You notice that there are several bodies that you have passed. You guys are kind of stepping over these. And as you're getting towards the main computer, you notice that there is one of these forms on the stairs up to the main computer. And as Dr. Martins is starting to go up the stairs, it reaches over and grabs your leg.
Ooh, okay. LV is just definitely going to move real fast.
All of a sudden, and that's where we're going to stop it.
Wes.
So
horror
in space.
Thank you guys so much. That was a lot of fun. It's going to be really interesting to watch the changes that happen with the characters. So
you're saying I need to change
into another character.
Perfect
when we murder you.
Oh, great.
Murder. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Patreon. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to hear more, our Patreon is set up so that we can raise money to be able to do this on a weekly basis and also give you more content. The more that we can raise, the more great content we can do. We have this show. We also have Otherworld London and a lot of other great shows we're hoping to bring out. So if you can support us, we'd really appreciate it. Now on to social medias. We'll start with Terry.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Terry Gamble. I play Dr. Sam Hill. It was so fun. you can find me on the internets at terrygamble.com, or you can find all my social medias, at The Terry Gamble. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, actually, yeah, as well. At The Terry Gamble. It's with one R.
I love it. Hello, everyone. I'm Kelsey Osborne. You can find me on social media, Twitter, and Instagram at Kelsey Kelsum. Yes, that is a pun on Casey Kasem. Spell KelseyKelsem.
Hey, I'm Mac Beauvais. I am a grumpy wolf in and out of game, and you can find all of that on my social medias at Strange Like That, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Those places.
Yeah, those are places.
And I'm Michelle Otis. You can find me on the Twitter at Michulu, MICHULHU.
And I'm Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games. Michelle and I make audio for role-playing games, so you can take a lot of the sounds you hear on our show and use them in your own tabletop games.
Ooh.
And you can get them at DriveThruRPG. And soon, well, I'll have to announce that later when it actually happens, but soon we're adding another place, which is pretty cool. thank you guys all so much for playing. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. And we will be back at our wonderful listeners very soon. Bye.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.